We are so deeply grateful for the privilege of coming to your place where you can sit down and view these gospel messages. And the reason that I am so deeply grateful is not only for you and me being able to enjoy these things and experience them, but also because God has been pleased to send me over here with a message. We were talking earlier about Jesus saying he has the keys of David, the king. He is King of Kings. And he said, I want you to know I can open and no man can shut. We're like, well, that's great. God opens up the scriptures to us. But dear soul, the other part of it, if you'll finish reading that verse, I can lock and I can close and no man can open. So we are absolutely thrown upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because a man is a preacher, don't mean that he's got a message from God. He may have a sermon. There's a lot of difference between man's sermon and God's message. All right, that's enough of that. Luke chapter 9. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 9. And we want to see what God has for us here in his scriptures. I've looked at this passage of scripture. Also in Matthew chapter 17, it's listed for many, many years. But God has shown me a fresh revelation of this, and it is my joy to come and share it with you. Luke chapter 9, we're going to start reading with verse number 28. Luke 9, 28, his countenance was altered. That's the name of our lesson. Luke 9, 28, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. There was some elevation in order that there might be a revelation. Sometimes we have to get away from everything on earth and get alone with the Lord before we can have a revelation. So we thank the Lord for spiritual meditation. It doesn't come by education, and we thank the Lord that it is more than inspiration. It is an elevation for revelation. Verse 29, and as he prayed, the Holy Spirit maketh utterance with groanings which cannot be uttered. Brother Bobby and I were talking about, we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God maketh utterance with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit is in this, and there's a change in the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice there were six people on this mountain. There was Peter, James, and John. And we always say it backwards. The Bible said Peter and John and James. And then there was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was Moses and there was Elijah. So there's six people here. And they are going to have an experience. Old Testament saints already gone on, coming back to be involved in this. Why? I hope we can satisfy our hearts and minds as to why God brought them back to experience this. And three apostles that needed to see this themselves. And of course, the Holy Son of God, who changed his appearance, he says the fashion of his countenance was altered. And poor old Moses in Exodus 33, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, you can't see my face. The law, based on the blood and sustained by the blood of bulls and goats, would not sustain and would not give the privilege of seeing the face of God. But we understand and know here that the subject matter was they spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Why was Moses and Elijah wanting to talk to Jesus about his death on the cross? Because they hadn't been brought into the fullness of the Holy Spirit yet in the application of redemption. So Moses is going to be able to look on the face of God, and it is going to be a face that is glowing like the brightness of the sun. It says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Mark chapter 16, the last chapter in the book of Mark, and verse number 12, this is a good verse to precede the study of Luke 24 of the two on the road to Emmaus. And that's what this verse concerns. Mark 16:12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's talking about, that's Mark giving you an understanding of what he knew about the two on the road to Emmaus and Jesus appearing there with them, and they didn't know who he was. How does Mark say it? After that, he appeared in another form, that is, in another shape or in another nature. We know, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm just going to have to give this to you as it comes to me, and I hope it is a blessing to you. As the Lord feeds it to me, I'll give it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, from this point on, from his death on, they should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. You need to get these words henceforth in your mind, because it means from the point of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Moses and Elijah had dealt with God, and Moses was dealing with God, and he had not yet as seen the glory of God as we have in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So you New Testament Christian has opportunity to do that which Moses, greatest man in the Old Testament, was forbidden to do. You can't look on my face, Moses. No man can look on my face and live. But we have the revelation of the glory of God as seen in the face of Jesus Christ. You say, I have not seen him in his face. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about the human form of Jesus of Nazareth. Dear soul, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. Believe me that if you are a believer and you are truly born again, there is in some way, and it is the truth, that you have seen Jesus. Listen to this verse. Wherefore, henceforth, from the cross on, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. God is not going to reveal Jesus of Nazareth to you. I don't care how bad the Roman Catholic Church wants to set up their statues and all other denominations want to present a physical Jesus. God's Bible forbids you to make any image of any likeness of God. I don't know how they get by with it. It's a blatant disregard of God's word. No images of God. No, nothing on the earth, under the earth, in the sea, nothing. The image of God that you have that brings you to a full understanding and a revelation of life is by the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, henceforth from the cross on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've even known the man Jesus, yet we have known Christ after the flesh, yet from henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You say, well, I know old brother so-and-so, I know sister so-and-so. No, you don't. You might know where they live. You might know their name. You might know their mom and daddy. You might know what occupation that they have had. You might understand and know what kind of car they're driving, who the kids are. But you don't know anybody apart from the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the Apostle Paul told Timothy and cautioned him, lay hands suddenly on no man. What is he talking about? Ordaining him. Laying your hands on him and ordaining him as a minister or a deacon or whatever. Be careful. You wait and make sure God reveals that person to you, because henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. You're going to see Jesus, quote, as he is, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't know what you're going to look like in heaven. I don't know what the teeming billions of saints that are in heaven with Jesus right now look like, because all their bodies are in the ground. What does a spirit look like? I don't know, and I don't want to know. Not yet. Wait till they are brought back with their bodies and reunited with their bodies, and it says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. What we do not know is what we shall be. What do we know? That when he shall appear, when the Lord Jesus Christ attains appearance, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, watch it, as he is, not as he was. Well, he was a, you know, dressed in a long robe and wore sandals and had a beard. No, you're talking about a hippie. To see the Lord Jesus Christ can only be done by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3, if you be risen with Christ, you say, well, I'm not dead, so I can't be risen with Christ. Talking about being born again. See, we don't understand. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you're seeking those things which are above, that means we are below. We're still here in the flesh. But you say we're talking to those who are risen with Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's verse number 12 of chapter 2 of Colossians. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're born again, seek those things which are above. Look out, look for heavenly things, spiritual things. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, you're dead to those things, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now listen, I'm trying to get to verse 4, Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, I used to think they're talking about, well, Granny went to glory. I thought they're talking about a place. But this is a condition. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, not in his mediatorial manifestation as he sits right now at the right hand of the majesty on high, because when he comes back, he's going to be God all in all. Everything that he's supposed to do as mediator will have been done. Then he will be exalted above everything that there is. Above every name, every knee shall bow. Excuse me. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear in his glorified state, which is above the glory that he has now as a mediator. This verse has a when, then it has a then. And that's where you come in. When Christ, who is our life, shall attain glorious appearance in his eternal state, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, in a glorified state. Glory is not a place on the map. Well, Granny died and went to glory. Okay, you're talking about died and went to heaven. I understand that. But dear soul, this is not talking about a place. It's talking about a condition of exalted holiness, even into eternal glory. Isn't that amazing? So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his manifestation of himself, determines the degree of sanctification in the saints. In the manifestation of himself as human being, as Jesus of Nazareth, in the manifestation of himself apart from any physical human body in a burning bush, he tells Moses, you can only come to an understanding and to an experience of glory according to what I'm revealing to you. You can't see my face. Moses had to wait till after he died, wait till after the incarnation, wait till after Jesus Christ had launched his ministry. John the Baptist has decreased and Christ has increased. Christ is called Peter and John and James, and they go up on this mountain to pray. Excuse me. And then God calls Moses and Elijah and says, come back. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and God over the living and the dead. He's beyond death. He is life. So as he prayed, and I'm thinking that in that prayer there was a request to God the Father by Christ and through the Holy Ghost that this would be the time when he would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we find? I can't preach for preaching. I can't get to what I want to say because I got so much I want to tell you. In John chapter 12, verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? I understand he was troubled because he was facing the cross and shame. But not only that, dear friend, but the worst thing that he was facing was separation from his Father. For the first time, God would be separated from God. And God the man would cry out to God the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? So he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit brought prior to there being any time or space or anything, had marked off a certain time and a certain place for redemption to be accomplished. This is the hour that I've been brought here for. Then in verse 28, he cries to the Father, Father, glorify thy name. Help me that I might get on with this and be separated from God and be separated unto the sinful church, that I would take on all their sins and for all eternity and bring satisfaction to God on their behalf. Father, glorify thy name. Don't save me from this hour, but help me to get into this hour and fulfill my responsibility so that your name would be glorified. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, listen to this, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What does he mean? Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. The birth of Jesus Christ brought glory to God. I have both glorified it before, but I'm fixing to glorify it again in your death." The people, therefore, that stood by, this is John 12, 29, the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said it thundered. Just like religionists, can't identify the voice of God. And others said, "We're more spiritual than that. It's not just thunder. An angel spoke to them." Well, they were closer, but it wasn't an angel that spoke to them. It was God the Father that spoke to them. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." God's going to judge the world at Calvary. God's going to kick the devil out of his place where he, of his usurped authority that he stole from Adam. And I quote you this verse quite often, Hebrews 2:14. "Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil." So he died in order that the devil would die and that you might live. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," there at the cross. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," on the cross, lifted up on the cross from the earth, "will draw all unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. When it says, "if I be lifted up," it wasn't talking about his ascension. Verse number 33 of John 12 clearly makes you understand that he was talking about his death. "If I be lifted up on the cross," this he said, signifying what death he should die. So the Lord Jesus Christ cries out to God, "Father, glorify thyself." That was his prayer. Now, I don't know what the prayer was in Luke chapter 9 situation. I don't know what the prayer was explicitly in the Transfiguration. I don't know what the prayer was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and John and James and Moses and Elijah. But it had to do with God, one thing, finally showing poor old Moses the face of God. Exodus 33, "Show me thy glory. No man can see my face and live. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to put my hand over you. And I'm going to pass by you. You can see my backside, but you can't see my face because no man should see my face and live." That's Exodus 33. You can read it later. But now here's Moses. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. The inner glory of the eternal Son of God began to shine forth not only through the incarnate flesh of Jesus of Nazareth, but through his clothing as well. God permeated everything that was in contact with the Holy Son of God and showed forth his great glory, that his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, and I think, well, that had to do with his prayer. And behold, not only is his clothes shining, not only is his face shining, not only is the glory of God seen through him, but God would have Moses and Elijah come back and experience this. You have been well taught over the years. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. Right. So the law and the prophets were going to have to come back, or should I say, are going to have the privilege of coming back and being able to see that which God had intended for them from the very beginning. But it could not be revealed unto them until God was satisfied. Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of his, God the Son's, soul. We look at the nails and the thorns and the spear. God was looking at his soul. Is he travailing in a way that God can identify with as satisfying, that it was as if God himself was there dying in a proper attitude? What do you mean? Adam said the woman did it. Curse fell on him as well as the woman. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I did it. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He didn't blame us. He took our sin upon himself. God sees the travail of his soul and becomes satisfied that, yes, this is a perfect attitude and a perfect establishment of glorious redemption. It satisfied God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, as recorded in John 19:30, it is finished. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. It is finished. Sin is paid for. The devil is cast out. Through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Said Michael and his angels, representing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 12, had a great warfare with the devil and his angels, and he cast them out. And there was no more place found for the devil and his angels in the heavenlies. Thank God. The Lord Jesus Christ has kicked the devil out of his usurped, stolen place of dwelling, because the devil, as the liar that he is, said, I will be like the Most High. God said, oh no, I've already got one who is going to be like the Most High, and he's going to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So here the Lord Jesus Christ changes, and we have a revelation to us in this passage of Scripture that gives us an understanding of how we are able to look into the face of God, which Moses couldn't do. 2 Corinthians Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was to be abolished. They couldn't look at Moses, who represented the law, which was not to continue. The law and its sacrifice of animals cannot sustain a revelation of the glory of God. Or if you'll go right back up in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to verse number 10, you will see that Jesus Christ has the glory that excelleth. For even that which was made glorious under the law, it was so glorious that Moses' skin shone so bright they couldn't look at him. He had to put a veil over his face. Even that which was made glorious under the law, when compared to the glory of Christ under grace, had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. This glory that God is going to reveal through Jesus Christ is going to be so great that it's going to permeate all the way out to the skin of Jesus of Nazareth all the way out through his garments. Therefore, he says, Moses, you need to come back and see this. I'm not through with you yet. I told you you couldn't see my glory. Not under the law. Moses, you did everything that was right and perfect. It was, man wrote the first five books of the Bible. You can't hardly even sit down and read the first five books of the Bible. All of the detail. He got it all exactly right. But there was a greater glory than Moses saw. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 3, that the children of Israel could not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. For their minds were blinded in the Old Testament. For even until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Well, we don't read the Old Testament. Well, maybe, you know, Psalm 23. Maybe Psalm, you know, 1. Maybe there's, you know, we go over to 2 Samuel in, or 1 Samuel 16 or whatever over in there and read about David and Goliath. But we don't read the Old Testament. You want to know why? That veil is not taken away. In the reading of the Old Testament, it actually says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. How is the veil of the Old Testament taken away? Which is done in away in Christ. Have you ever taken just a few moments and meditated upon Christ's determination and requirement that Nicodemus, great learned lawyer, not lawyer like you know, get you out of your trial down at civil court, but the scriptures, the law, great learned lawyer, all he had was the Old Testament. And Jesus said, art thou a master, a rabbi in Israel, and knowest not these things? What things? The new birth. You must be born again. Wait a minute. How in the world is Nicodemus supposed to know about the new birth when all he has is the Old Testament? Jesus said, if that veil had been taken away, he would have known it. How is the veil taken away? By seeing Jesus for who he is. But Nicodemus couldn't do that. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for, here's why he knows that, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The man that he was talking to was not just God with him, he was God, very God of very God. He was God himself. And the reason that Nicodemus could not see the glories of eternal and gracious, immaculate redemption was because he didn't know who Jesus was, because he was trying to find him through miracles, and God said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to commit myself to people who think they have faith through miracles. So the reading of the Old Testament has a veil over it, except it is done away in Christ. Dear soul, some of the most glorious messages that I have been allowed to hear in going to all the various Bible conferences that I have been privileged to go to in my lifetime have been because men could get up there and preach Christ out of the Old Testament. I can think of some, but I won't mention their names. But dear soul, we sit there and just wish the message wouldn't end, because they were showing the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures of the Old Testament because they saw Christ in his glory, and they opened it up for us, and we saw Christ in his glory. So he says, but even unto this day, 2 Corinthians 3:15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart, not upon Moses' face, but upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when those people will turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. If you can come to Christ, you can see him in the Old Testament. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now listen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a looking glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. If you see the glory of the Lord, it is because he has changed himself and manifest himself in his glory. But what does it do to you? You are changed. The reason that you are progressing in your sanctification is because you're gradually seeing new and added revelations of God's glory to you. You should desire to sit under the ministry of the Spirit. And if you can find a man that can be used of the Holy Spirit, and he opens up the Scriptures unto you, and you see the glory of Christ, you are changed. You are promoted in your sanctification. That's how you progress in holiness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, Peter said. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed in the same image from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Dear soul, if you want to grow in spiritual awareness and growth and perception and maturity, you need to keep looking at Jesus in his glory. And like I said, you should not do your daily Bible reading out of duty, but only out of devotion. You should bow your heart and bow your head and cry out to God, don't let me read these verses except I can see the Lord Jesus in them. Because if I just see these verses as truth, it will only help make me a hardened religionist with a greater degree of morality. And you will become a critical, legalistic moralist. But if I can see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh Lord, take the veil away. Don't let me read these Scriptures, except I can see the Lord Jesus. If I can see the glory of Christ, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That's what 1 John 3:2 that I quoted you is talking about. Beloved, it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's what I read you in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4. If I can find it again. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear in his glory, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, in your glory. So the more that I see the Lord, the more I can progress in the degrees of spirituality that we call sanctification. Now, flip over a page, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, in the beginning, God created. Earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. That's God commanding the light to shine out of darkness. It wasn't the sun, moon, and stars. They wasn't created till the fourth day. What light is this on the first day? It is God bringing forth his Son to introduce him to creation. For there can be no creation apart from the Word. We understand by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just like He did in the created order of all physical, and He brought forth the physical to give you an understanding of the spiritual, has shined in our hearts. He had to command the light of the glory of God to shine in your heart. That's how you got saved. That's how you progress in sanctification. That's how you grow in grace. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? I know you're in your home or wherever you may be. You may be looking at this on your phone in your car. I don't know. But what does the rest of that verse say? Let me read it to you and you finish. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness in natural creation, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Yeah. In the face of Jesus Christ. Moses, Exodus 33, you can't see my face. I'll let you get a slight glimpse of my backside going away from you, but you can't see my face. But now God comes to reveal the glories of Jesus Christ in such a way that He calls upon those who represent the New Testament apostles, Peter and John and James. And He said, but I will not leave out the Old Testament boys, Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. And we see this all, that this was to fulfill that which God had not yet done. Man, I got so much to show you, I don't know where to start. The fifth seal, Revelation. Chapter 6, I think it is. I hope it is. Yes. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 9. He's fixing to open the fifth seal. Now, the Old Testament boys was weeping. Revelation chapter 5. John, a representative man. I wept much. Why? Because he was in that transitional period in the days of John the Baptist, where he breached over and brought and made a bridge over from the Old Testament prophets, which prophesied until John. Then they cut off. He was in that days of John the Baptist in the beginning of the days of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why are you weeping? Because we can't go to the temple anymore. We can't sacrifice animals anymore. The priesthood that we used to have is of the tribe of Levite, and the new priesthood is of the tribe of the line of Judah. What are we going to do? So he weeps much. But then the Lamb begins to open the seals of the book, because he hath persevered. He hath prevailed. And he goes forth on his white charger, conquering the souls and hearts of men and bringing men into the presence of the glory of God. Comes to the fifth seal. Revelation 6. I hope I've got enough time to get into all this. Revelation 6, verse number 9. And when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, wait a minute, you got to understand, the book of Revelation is written in symbolic form. The altar here does not represent an altar physically. It's talking about redemption. Those souls that were covered by redemption, those souls in the Old Testament were saved on the credit. It hadn't been paid for yet. You don't remember this, but being the old coot that I am, I remember the old country store. And I remember seeing daddies come in from the sawmill on Friday with their paycheck. And the grocer would say, well, okay, you want to settle up? He said, yeah. Cash his check. And he had these metal pages, I guess, boards, and they were clips on them. And under this man's name would be a clip, and there would be a bill. And said, well, your wife came in last week and got this and this and this. Your son came in after school, and he got him an RC Cola and a moon pie. And he ate it and drank it on the credit. Now it's time to pay for it. These souls under the altar were under the authority and under God's promise of redemption. He says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar these souls that were covered by the atonement, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. You're dead, dying to self, living to Christ, mortification. They ain't talking about physical martyrdom. It's talking about a spiritual dying to self and being made alive to Christ. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. All right? And they cried with a loud voice. Moses and Elijah still have not had the application of redemption put upon them and all they represent. They cried with a loud voice and saying, Lord, how long? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? And what happened? They got a glistening robe like we find on Jesus in Luke chapter number 9. It says, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. When the disciples come back, they come and they find the man that's among the tombs who was naked and cut himself and was wild and no man could go that way. He would kill you. He would destroy you. They found him not only sitting in his right mind, but it says, and clothed. Where did he get that garment? Jesus said, any of you have two garments? Give one to somebody that don't have any garment. Where do you think he got that garment? He couldn't go to Belk's. He couldn't go to the clothing store. There wasn't no malls that were running sales, or he couldn't get on the internet and order a suit to be delivered. He was naked. Not only naked physically, but naked spiritually. And Jesus Christ clothed him with redemption, but he showed that by clothing him with his own garment. And it says, and white robes were given unto every one of them. I want you to be satisfied, Moses. Look at my garments. You could not look at my face in Exodus 33, but now you can see my face. And I want you to know that that which I am going to do is going to clothe you with righteousness. And by the way, what was the subject that Moses and Elijah wanted to talk to Jesus about? Verse 31 of Luke 9. Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. That was the subject. John and James and Peter get to hear this. These boys are saved on the credit. They've already had their RC Cola and moon pie. The wife has already come to the store last week and got a pound of butter and some eggs and got 5 pounds of flour. Excuse me, how did she get it? signed her name. And the grocer said, good. Your husband is an honest man. When he gets off of the work at the sawmill on Friday, he'll come straight here, I'll cash his check, and we'll pay for what you already got. I like that. I really do like that. Oh, my goodness. Moses and Elijah, here you've got one shot. You get to go in and talk to the King of Kings. You get to go in and talk to the Lamb of God. What do you want to talk about? I have never been able to go into the governor's office. I rarely get to talk to anybody of any importance. But dear soul, if you do, you need to frame up your mind as to what is it you need to talk to them about. They said, we want to talk to you about your decease, which you shall finish, you shall accomplish in Jerusalem. Jesus said, that's why my glory is shining. Father, glorify thyself. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Some said it thundered. Others said it was an angel. Jesus said, no, this voice came for you. Because my Father is telling you that I'm going to go to the cross, and if I be lifted up on the cross, I read you this in John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. If I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men unto me. This spake he, signifying what death he should die. The glory of God was going to be seen at the cross of Jesus Christ, like it had never been seen before. This is the glorious and most bright and brilliant shining light. And dear soul, if you're born again, whether you realize it or not, whether you think your physical eyes have actually seen anything like this or not, your heart has gazed upon God, and you have two gifts that God has given you, repentance and faith. And by faith we understand. By faith we see those things which are invisible. And we understand and see, dear soul, that we see the Lord Jesus Christ. I read you in 2 Corinthians 5, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Well, we got his resume. But that don't mean that he's worth his salt. That don't mean that he's not a serial killer. How do you know him? Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Quit trying to get to Jesus with pictures and statues and come to him by faith in your heart and asking God to take the scales away from your natural eyes and let you see Jesus. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him shall have life. My hope is not that you will get this message. And I hope it is a message and not a sermon. My hope for you is that you see Jesus. Not me. Not Jesus in the picture and statues that you've been given by religion. But you look upon him whom you have pierced. And the glory of God saturates your soul. And you say, Lord, how did this happen? Jesus said, let's speak of my decease, which I did accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses said, I get to see your face now. He said, yeah. Elijah said, the prophet prophesied unto John. And Hebrews chapter 1 tells you that in times past, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by the Son. Even the prophets come now to hear the voice of the eternal Son of God. What are you going to talk about, Moses? You're being brought back. You got one shot. What are you going to talk about, Elijah? You didn't die. You were taken away in a whirlwind by that chariot of fire. What do y'all want to talk about? Well, the souls under the altar are going to cry out to God, how long, O Lord, how long? He said, give them white robes. Where'd they get them white robes? Same place that man in the tombs got his clothing. Same place you got your clothing if you're clothed by the Lord. The book of Revelation tells us the garment, linen garments, are the righteousness of the saints. Oh, my soul. Dear soul, you need to be careful. You don't want to have filthy rag righteousness. And Jude 23 tells you this. The book of Jude. What chapter? The first chapter. What chapter? The last chapter. There ain't but one. Jude 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Dear soul, sinners can spot their garments by the flesh and ungodliness and sin. And if sin can spot a garment and make it a filthy rag righteousness, Isaiah 64, verse 6, then holiness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will permeate through the glistening clothing, and the souls under the altar will be finally silenced and satisfied, and they're sitting there. And Peter writes, not unto themselves, but unto us they wrote these things. What will quiet down the souls under the altar? The fulfillment of their redemption. What will satisfy the grocer? Old John came by from the sawmill, just like he does every Friday, and he paid his son's debt, paid his daughter's debt. They got off the school bus here. They let them out here at the crossroads where the country store is, and they came in and got them a cool soft drink, and they didn't pay for it. The wife has come in, and they have eaten at home with the groceries that she came in and signed for. And they ate, but then nobody had paid for it. But here comes John on Friday, hot, dirty, dusty, old pine rosin sticking to him from the sawmill. And he comes in, gets him a cool drink out of the box, opens it, starts drinking it to cool himself off when he ain't paid for it. And he walks over there and he said, here's my check. I want to settle up. Glory to God. Jesus Christ said, Moses, come here. Elijah, come here. Peter and John and James, y'all come here. Me too. You too. Come here. I want to settle up. And God the Father shall see the travail of God the Son's soul and shall be satisfied. God is satisfied with you because this hard-working, precious father of the church has come by on the day of redemption, and we went to him, and what did we want to talk about? Let's talk about your decease, which you shall accomplish at Jerusalem. What do the souls of the altar, under the altar, they're under redemption. It's a promised redemption. They believe in it. But how long, O Lord, shall it be till we have a full and complete redemption? Give them white robes. Said unto them, we're given linen garments. And the linen garments is the righteousness of the saints. Oh, my soul. That's Revelation 19:8. I've been trying to find that. Revelation 19 and verse 8. Let me read it to you. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Garments are said to be righteous. garments are said to be spotted with sin and be filthy rags. What shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What shall make me whole again? How long, O Lord? By his decease at Jerusalem. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let all of us cast our crowns. And I don't know why we got them to start with. We don't deserve them. But if we have crowns, or when we have crowns, they don't belong on our heads, they belong at his feet. Because he is the only one worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou hast cleansed us by thy blood out of every kindred and people and nation and tongue and brought us to God Almighty. Jesus is coming soon. Friday evening always comes during the week. The man's going to come and hand in his check. And that which has been enjoyed on credit is going to be completely paid for. And Jesus Christ is going to come back, dear soul, having paid for our redemption at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit making application of that redemption, that payment, is going to come back and gather up that which belongs to him. For you are bought with a price, and you are not your own. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are Christ. Dear soul, our time is gone. Thank the Lord for his mercy. I hope God has helped you in this message. He's blessed my soul. I thank God for the privilege of walking and talking and learning and being instructed and hopefully instructing you in the Holy Spirit, paid for by Jesus. God bless you.